people to see those seeds sprout. And that is such a great, I feel, such a great honor to be in association and to be able to hear such a great preacher. So without any further wait, I want to introduce you to Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, who will be speaking on Servant of the Servant.
Srila Prabhupada ji, this confound the child of Srila Prabhupada ji, Srila Prabhupada Sanchini Yogi. I don't know what I'm supposed to say after that wonderful presentation from Jamuna and Kasalya. It's like, you know, you sit down and you eat, and then you get dessert, and then somebody says, well, can I give you something to eat? I mean, what are you supposed to do? And then they bring salad, and you've already eaten? So maybe I'll try to say something so I won't take away from the spirit of what we've had to eat. If I can do that, then we can all leave still and be nourished. It's so interesting how I'm supposed to speak something about the servant of the servant. Speak some philosophy. But philosophy is very wonderful and most wonderful when we see it in the applied sense. Many of the things we were just hearing, there was so much application of Prabhupada's love, Prabhupada's compassion, Prabhupada's care, Prabhupada's attentiveness. Sometimes we would hear Prabhupada say how he saw his disciples as his own spiritual master, or his spiritual masters, in the sense of how the guru can see that Krishna has sent his spiritual master in many forms to be able to arrange to give service. Or we see another way of looking at the disciple. His disciple is a garland, flowers that come together that we put then on the spiritual master. So it was so wonderful hearing them speak about these things, because we were all literally taken on that magic carpet. But it was also very wonderful feeling the love between the two of them. I hope we all were able to share that as well, which was them carrying what Prabhupada has given as they share it with us, and as they connected in giving that and being able to give us such a flavor of Srila Prabhupada's association. Interesting is that what we see Bhagavad Gita tells us, Matita Magata Pranam Boyantas Parasparam Katayantas Cha Manicha Tushanti Cha Romanti Cha. This is what clarifies and constitutes the devotee. When Sanatana Goswami is having discourse with Lord Chaitanya, and there's discussion about a devotee, and one of the significant things that comes up is about association. So we can appreciate how much we are devoted as we relish that and want to own or be more part of that, of the culture of devotion. This says we're all so attentive as we're hearing these stories, because this is our nourishment. Of course, the contrast of that, because in many cases, and many of you have to work in environments where you have to associate so much, where you are not hearing the Krishna Katha, but you're hearing so many other vibrations, and you're having to deal with so many situations that are not directly involved in Krishna consciousness. And it's difficult. And it should be difficult. If it's not difficult, then we have to kind of wonder why. Because in this discourse, emphasizing how much one should be afraid of material association, how much one, in the converse of that, is so much appreciates spiritual association. This says it is practically impossible for someone to become serious in their devotion if they are too much attached to mundane lifestyle patterns. And often we see that one of the ways that someone comes to devotional service is out of course knowledge, but also out of distress and out of curiosity. But not feeling satisfied with what normally is considered to be success, or normally what material civilization has to offer. We want to go beyond that. We want to find out, yes, we're asking the whys and the hows. As we feel too comfortable in an environment where our beloved is not being appreciated, it should tell us something. Just as it'll be very difficult, many of you are parents, very difficult for you to feel comfortable in an environment where someone you are associating with, you know that they do not like your child, that they despise your child. They would like to see your child not exist. Or they say harsh things or thinking harsh ways about someone who you love. Can you really be comfortable in that environment? You may care for them, but can you really be comfortable in that environment? And if you are comfortable in that environment, then there's some question about how much your love is really strong for your child or for your wife or your husband or whatever. Just as we would have trouble being in an environment where someone is not having proper consideration about Srila Prabhupada. We cannot tarry in such an environment. We cannot enjoy it in such an environment. We don't want to leave that environment. So if we are too comfortable in an environment where people are trying to literally deny the existence of Krishna, where people are trying to be Krishna, or in environments where people are very hostile about the whole conception of spirituality, we do not have to be harsh toward them, but we cannot embrace such a situation. But we want to embrace the Krishna Katha. Because as we are, the Prabhupada has shown us that example of servitude-ship, where Krishna, in Bhagavad Gita, how he does the most amazing thing. He is the servant of his devotee. He is eager and happy and delighted and exhilarated about being the servant. In many cases, obviously much more than being the master. I mean, just imagine the Supreme Lord being a taxi driver. I mean, it's not one of the most, sought after jobs. Or Krishna washing everyone's feet at the, what, Rajasuya sacrifice. If we listen to some of these pastimes of Srila Prabhupada, we see to the degree that he extended himself. Such a royal personality, Nitya Siddha from the spiritual kingdom. How he made himself available for his devotees in many, many ways. The earlier times, of course, is a special flavor. Later times is a special flavor. Even now, our nieces and nephews, they are also special flavor, chance to associate with Prabhupada, associate with us, associate with what they hear. We understand Pada Dukkha Dukkhi Kripam Bodhi, that the devotee feels the miseries of others, the happiness of others. Lokanamita Karanatra Bhuvane, the Goswamis, they were so selfless, concerned about, they were preaching to the royal class at the same time, they were ready, available to deal with the common people, men, women, etc. But their position never changed in the sense that they were so much sharing their prema, their ecstasy, the whole planet, by writing shastra, by building temples. And literally, such great souls, such manjaris, such great entities coming to interact in these hellish environments, where there is so much attacking against the object of their affection. I mean, imagine Prabhupada being in this environment and having such love for his guru, having such love for Krishna, and having to deal with the material energy and having to deal with us with all of our fears and doubts and anxieties and fighting amongst each other. And seeing our so much lack of taking care of Krishna's energies in different ways. but wanting to share with us so much by being the servant of his guru, is ready to do such things. In cases of standing in the line and going to the shower in the early days, teaching devotees how to clean, as mentioned by Kasalya yesterday, clean the floor, teaching devotees how to cook. He taught us everything from how to sleep to how to bathe to how to, you know, do every basic thing, which just shows how hellish our existence is in material energy. We don't even know how to go to the bathroom. Know how to eat. What to say of how to interact. The same gender or the opposite gender. A few short points I wanted to share, and not to belabor too many points. I want to keep the mood of what has been given to us. Matter of fact, maybe I can share one or two stories along with that mood, with people who are not here. Very nice. When we hear about the Jadarani's case, for instance, how she explains how once she was on a walk with Srila Prabhupada, and of course she was very ill and very thin, and so she put on extra clothes so Prabhupada would not see how frail she was looking. But still, Prabhupada was attentive and he noticed. And he called her out on it and asked her about her eating and told her she should eat more dal and chapati, etc. Then the next day, he called in Satsuk Maharaj and explained how, as a father, giving his daughter, and he wanted Satsuk Maharaj to take care of her and to take her as his wife. So, here a case of being attentive to all aspects of the environment and being attentive to all his servants. And being personally concerned to try to see how to do something. Similar kind of nice story in 1974 in Geneva. Lilavati Dasi. She had been traveling with Prabhupada, just coming from India. And so they were visiting the temple in Switzerland. And she'd come down with serious illness, with jaundice. And so the devotees, they were all, of course, very excited. Prabhupada had come, and they were very happy, and everything was so focused on Srila Prabhupada and hearing from him and serving him. And so they put Lilavati in the room. And basically, she was there being practically unnoticed, very, very ill, very sick. So at one point, Srila Prabhupada told the devotees, the leaders, devotees, also some of the other devotees, that he wanted to go to the hospital to see her. Because later they arranged for her to go to the hospital. She got sicker and sicker. And devotees got everything ready. They got the vans, the cars are all ready to go. And then after everyone was ready, waiting for Prabhupada to come down, then Prabhupada told them they should go and see him. So they understood that one, he was thinking about her. Two, he was concerned, and he wanted them to be concerned. And in order to help the effort of drawing attention to get them to help her, so he said he wanted to go, and then he sent the devotee. Reflection on story of Bhuvijan's wife, I think Mr. Jagatarini Siddhasi. When she joined Simla in 1974, Mrs. Halsita Prabhupada personally had told her she'd come into the room, and he spoke with her in so many ways, and he explained to her that directly that he would find her a nice husband. She is a nice girl, and he will find a nice husband for her. Of course, later she married a nice husband, Bhuvijan Prabhu. They had interesting service in Japan, difficult place. Very, very difficult place to preach. But around that time, there was some difficulties. They were having some association that was contaminating. And there was some maya. So, Prabhupada himself personally came to visit them. And Bhuvijan explained that his wife, she was a borderline kid. And Srila Prabhupada spoke to them. And then he took off his gold ring, his own finger. And he kind of motioned and twirled it. And he gave it to her. Later he left, went to Mayapur, and some short time after he arrived in Mayapur, he was on a walk with a brigade of sannyasis. Jagatarini happened to come upon Srila Prabhupada, the sannyasi. Immediately he stopped his conversation with him. And he thanked her for coming. And patted her on the head. And then walked away. Being concerned about the consciousness that she was in, extending himself by giving something that he is wearing, something that is his own. And even while he is in this meeting with his renunciates, his world leaders, at the world, on the world headquarters, that she comes and he is moved by that he extends himself and thanks you. So this, we see, is the similar mood of Krishna. And how, although he is controlling everything, Ahamsa Vasa Pababo, Mataksa Vampa Vajati, Iti Matra Bajangtema, Buddha Bhava Samamitaha. But even though he is so omnipotent, omniscient, etc., that he is the God who is sometimes running through the field with his face dirty as a cowherd boy. Huh? He is the Supreme Lord who is so meticulously concerned about all of his creation and his servitude that he dances with the gopis in the all field that only Krishna is with them. That is, he is eating with the cowherd boys. They're all feeling that Krishna is only giving them the full sense of attention. That when he is dancing from the Ratiyad cart, every group is feeling that this love and focus that Krishna is giving is just for them. So we want to somehow pick up some just small amount of Prabhupada's concern for everyone. So that as we associate with each other, that we will feel, oh, here's my best friend. It's nice sometimes you see that there are some, it's rare, but you'll see there are some devotees who many people feel that, oh, this is my best friend in devotional service. Because one is feeling, oh, this person is so much attentive, concerned about my well-being. And how wonderful if that can be something that is shared. Because we see even people were sometimes so inimical and they came in front of in Prabhupada's presence. It's like there's an example of such of a meeting also in Europe where the devotees called a meeting of parents. And so many of the parents, they were furious. Like I think Brahmananda, your mother also in the early days, she was very disturbed about you being a devotee. And as they had the meeting, Prabhupada talked to them. And one of the parents said, "How we want to be angry at you, but we cannot." Because Prabhupada is his love, his charm, his care, his concern. And the parent, of course, wants the best for their child. They see such a loving, charming person. How can they feel too disturbed that their child is under the care of such a loving person? Because he is carrying the devotion of Krishna. Now we have these communities. And these communities are to help us to imbibe the spiritual culture. And these communities are to present us strong positive alternatives. See, if we associate, and in our association, we collectively come together to mutually suffer and tolerate, that is not going to produce a sense of longevity. But when we can have community, that by being in community, everyone benefits more than they would individually, then that is community. By being in community, we then benefit more by what? If in such community, we have a greater sense of protection than we would by living by ourselves, it's a good reason to be in community. If being in community, we have a greater sense of financial security, that we can depend on each other in certain ways like that, then everyone will be eager to be a part of such an environment. If being in community, we have male-female relationship problems, we have abilities to help each other to work things out, we have problems with our children, we have abilities to work things out, then one, who will want to leave? And two, when anyone comes, they will feel so surcharged by the atmosphere that pervades that they will be eager to participate. When we can have such a mood of appreciation of services, this is Rupa Nuga was speaking about the diversity and the appreciation. Unity with diversity, diversity with unity. As there can be so much of the heterogeneity, things going on, but so much complementing each other, then people will be eager as they come around. They will be able to see themselves and to see how they can connect. You know, when you join something, you look to see yourself. If I'm a part of this, what does this mean for me? What does this mean for my future? Why so many of our children are kind of copying out? Because they're looking at ourselves, they're thinking, so if I do like this, do like that, then it means this will be my situation for the future. No, I'm not so sure. And so there is some incoherence. But as we are more the servants of each other, and that means by what we say, what we think, and what we create around us. Because to serve, it means relationship, it means interactions, it means doing things. Love comes from interactions, from things that we do and things that we share. And as we glorify service, then we're able to identify to come together more on what is our original nature as servitors, servants of Krishna. Prabhupada explained we're always serving something. Every relationship is involved in some type of service interactions. But we're trying to improve on the quality and in some cases the quantity of those interactions. The Amish community has an interesting situation of how they administer some of their communities in terms of how they ban someone. So if a person has become rather obnoxious and has minimized the rules of conduct, the individual gets banned, shunned. And the way the person is banned, the shun is the real conception, is that no one will accept service from that person. But they will give service. That means if the person needs to have some people to help him with harvest, needs to help him to build his house, needs to help him to do something, whatever it may be, so many different things. They will do with the same zeal, the same enthusiasm as when the person was in good standing. But they will not accept any service from that person. So they send a signal about first the value of service, and they also let the person know, you are contaminated, but we love you. You are in illusion, in Maya, but we are not in denial of what you can be about and what you ultimately are, but we want you to know that what you presently are, it is not so wonderful for you or for the community. And in this way, service becomes such a high commodity. We're trying to train up some of the devotees in Gita Nagari, first in the science of bartering. Because so much we are locked in to the demonic paradigms. And in many cases, we have no choice for a while. But as we gradually make transitions, then we can begin to focus more on service And service can become a commodity. You can even have a service bank, even have service checks. Because everyone is important. Every devotee is important. And every service that the devotee offers is important because it is service ultimately under the umbrella of Srila Prabhupada, of Lord Chaitanya. And the Lord and His servant, Samahamsava Bhuteshu, they have no favors. They do not need anything, but they are wanting our love, and so they make arrangements for our love to come through. So that whether one is acting as in the mood of Vaishya or Kshatriya or Brahmin, that all services are important. Whether one is sweeping the temple, washing the dishes, doing the farming, carpentry, plumbing, etc. That everyone is to feel that they have an important contribution to make. And even the most mundane psychologists and those who are evaluating the whole workforce field realize that when a person has a greater sense of well-being, they give a greater contribution to society. When someone feels protected and cared for and loved, then they do so much based on that love. When someone feels that they are not cared for, when they see that they're not protected, when they feel that they are just being tolerated, then how? How can they do their best? How can any of us do our best? Because we will feel so much. We evaluate ourselves based on how others deal with us. We see that with our children. You tell your child, "You moron, you imbecile, there you go again, you nonsense, you knucklehead." Or again, we'll start thinking, "I'm a knucklehead, I'm a moron, I'm an imbecile. I can't do anything." But as we inspire them, based on what they do, and help them to see how to do better, then we have higher sense of achievement. When I was mentioning this morning about the conversation I was having with, the first conversation with Nelson Mandela, and I mentioned about speaking about the difference between things that are liberating or can help advancement of human civilization, conscious raising, in contrast to just anything goes without proper order or etiquette, etc., and the calamities that happen when such is there. One of the things I didn't mention is that when I visited the country the first time, after a long time, I was shocked. I opened up the local newspaper, and there was so much pornography, and just a regular newspaper you buy on the stands or people are passing out door to door, etc. And so when I discussed the fact that there's a difference between human and civic rights and arranging an environment where people just become animalistic or their lower tendencies become activated. So as we look at social development, we look at these various issues, none of us want to open up a sort of avenues where we no longer have Vedic culture. But at the same time, spiritual life is about growth. If we have the same consciousness today that we had 5 years ago, even 5 months ago, something's wrong. The process works. It's a science. And if we are getting the electrified current, then we are gaining more detachment towards sense gratification, more love of Vaishnavas, more appreciation each year, more and more what Srila Prabhupada has given in his unique position, and more eagerness to cherish and to hold on to what he's given us. As we have more appreciation of how we're unworthy of it, but we've been given it. I was sharing with some devotees the other day in Miami that our position is something similar to, it's like little Bhagwat's child. What is his age? About 5 years old. So imagine now, he's 5 years old, because he's quite an ingenious kid. But imagine if he's put into high school. Of course, this is hypothetical, not such a good example, but you understand the principle. It would be so far beyond his situation, his natural situation. He didn't really mean that, did he? So we can't manage ourselves out of a paper bag. I mean, we have so many problems on every angle, every side. What is this? And so I was explaining, just like the little sparrow who's going to drink up the ocean and how Garuda came to help. It's not that we can save the world. It's not that we can make a serious change in the world, but it's that Krishna will do. And it is a matter of what avenues Krishna comes through. And coming through means so much becoming free of sense gratification, free of ahankara, false ego, and Krishna has no favorites. Can use anyone. But it's for us to move out of the way. One of Prabhupada's servants, Nanda Kumara, I was just speaking with him last year in Arizona. And he was saying how Prabhupada told him personally on his face that in our lifetime we will see the establishment of Varnashram Dharma. How? Where are we at? How? That means either one or two things. I mean, we're already three-fourths dead, most of us. Some a little more than that. Huh? We're 50, 55, 45. We live a normal lifespan, 70-something years. Our life is basically gone. So once is what you'd be thinking, you know, we got a few more years if we have to struggle this way, all right, no problem. We look and see what has been our life in the past, and at least we want to make these last years with quality. So that means, in spite of ourselves, there will be massive changes. Because it is Krishna's plan. And for massive changes to take place, it means accessing the various polarities. There's always the demonic, the pious, and the impious energies. And situations going on. There's always the demons and the devotees. Or the demons and the demigods. Always. Those oppositions are there. And there's always the recruiting in the camps. And we see that happening today. So much demarcation is going on. People becoming more and more grossly sinful. More and more empoweredly sinful. Engaged in all kinds of demonic types of rituals. And at the same time, we see some unusual things happening. So will Krishna leave us at the mercy of these demons? I mean, look at our computers. It's frightening what the computer can do. It's frightening. You think of all the information and the control and how things are being processed. We are slaves already. Less than 1% here in America. Less than 1% of the top richest people in America control over 95% of all the assets. That the average person in America, what is middle class, medium class, lower class, upper class, is basically working so that they can get some money, dress a little nicely, have a little nice car, have some house, have some food, so they can healthily go and work for somebody else and make money for someone else. Will we just be at the mercy of these demons? Right now we see the judicial section of the government against the legislative, against FBI, FBI, against CIA. Everybody, nobody has any allegiance. Haven't we just seen just a few days ago, federal government has closed? Are they telling us something? They've closed because of the partisan politics. They've closed because of the snow. Huh? Do we think that the federal government is going to go on? It's already shown that it is closing. Already there are states that are trying to buy out of the federal system. It's only a matter of time. Why should they keep putting in, and getting so little out? Putting in, and they're hearing about cheating presidents, cheating vice presidents, cheating senators, cheating congressmen. So many things that we're thinking that we're having as security, they're already going right before us. People are waiting for their pensions. Pensions are not going to be there. Social security system is falling apart. Welfare system is about to be kicked far as anything. So we have a wonderful chance to bond, to access divine intervention. Prophet says there's an indivisible line of connection between the devotees and the demigods. Who's controlling the rain? Who's controlling the wind? Who's controlling the earthquakes and the tornadoes and things that are onslaughting the planet? These are the servants of the pure devotees. See, the Prabhupada is a pure devotee. He is one who can summon the assistance of the devas. As he has his personal love, is he going to leave us? Do you leave your child to be slaughtered? No. When you see your children are in distress, your love, it comes out even more. But that love is there. As we connect with it, then we can experience that and run with that love. So let us be more the servants of each other. As we try to create that kind of atmosphere, everything is basically a force field. Things are happening in different parts of the world, different situations, based on the collective energy of that environment. Why did the demigods stop coming to the planet actively? Because the nature of the environment was no longer inviting. As we have a consciousness that invites, then so much empowerment is there in so many, many ways. This year being Prabhupada's centennial, it is not just something for us, but it is a chance for the world to be able to connect more with what Prabhupada has to offer and has given. It's a chance for us to remind ourselves why we join. Every day we kind of have to join the Hare Krishna movement again. We have to reflect, why did I join this movement? Why am I undergoing these difficulties? And what is the goals that are available? And as we remind ourselves, particularly as we show each other from our examples, just as in sports or a group of musicians, they so much help each other by collective participation. And we are what we collectively have to share. So Krishna Prabhupada is waiting for us. Their love has never stopped. Their blessings have never stopped. The Acharya's blessings have never stopped. Either we all have been given the most amazing sham by all the great Acharyas and even the prophets of other traditions, because they all say this is not our home. They all emphasize, as we surrender, God rewards somehow accordingly. So either they've all, even though they come at different times, different traditions, different parts of the world, and somehow they came up with this amazing lie and big hype to put on the world. Either that's the case, or there is some truth. And if it's truth, we have to be hungry and greedy for it and let it work. So, I'm going to stop here. But as we are the servants of the servants, then we reconstitute our original position. And the way we most serve each other is we have to create an environment that becomes encouraging to allow us to persevere. We're practically just on a persevere course. I mean, things are changing so much that we're practically just on a persevering course, and Maya has so many tricks. One of Maya's tricks is just to get you grossly in sense gratification. If Maya can't get you and beat you down by gross sense gratification, Maya wants to make you so bewildered, so distracted, so depressed that you then do not access the keys of devotion that we have. Just as you deposit something in the bank. Just think, in this community, there are more people who've made more deposits in Krishna consciousness than any place in the world. Every time we water Tulsi, every time we run around Tulsi, every time we have darshan, every time we take charanamrita, every time we distribute a book, every time we hear bhajan and kirtan, chant our realm, every one of those activities is making spiritual deposits in our eternal bank account. What happens? When you're depositing in the bank, you don't feel it. But one day, you have a chance to draw out and to invest. And then you're happy to see what you have. We have been putting so much in the bank accounts. And there's time for many souls to draw up on those accounts. But Maya wants to make us think, we ain't got nothing. Huh? And then we lose such a wonderful chance to use what has happened. So be like the track star who's running and who's tired. But he's tired and he's thinking, I only got another lap. And therefore, I'm going to continue. Not to be tired and thinking, how can I go on with this? One fry, one thing after another, one complexity after another. I've had it. I'm checking out. I'm going to worship Lord Shiva. Om Namo Shivaya. Some people are doing that. But we want to somehow realize, just as they gave us these wonderful stories of how Prabhupada cared, he still cares. We especially experience Prabhupada's care through each other. Sudama, I end with this. So Sudama, and he mentions on the tapes, the Prabhupada, let's see, memory tape. And he mentioned how Prabhupada told him that when he left, I can't remember the exact details, but I'll summarize so we can end also. And Prabhupada told Sudama that he would be able to hear him through the devotees. He would be able to remember him through the devotees. So we can more and more appreciate Prabhupada. We all felt Prabhupada's presence as they were talking. As we hear from some of you, and you tell different things, it puts us like in a trance state. Any three or four of you, if you go out here and you start talking about Prabhupada, you'll go, and someone who comes next to you, you will put in an altered state. Because that is the potency of the transmission. Some of Prabhupada is coming through. So we want to do more and more things that create an environment that allows us to be more reinforced as the servant of the servants, so that we have more of this presence of Prabhupada, and we let Prabhupada do what he wants to do, what he has to do. Hare Krishna.
Maharaj, there are at least two questions. One I'd like to ask briefly, and then Shyamasundar Prabhu has one question to ask. You were talking before about the Amish and how they won't accept service from someone who's been shunned. And I'm just remembering, and I'd like you to address this issue, I'm just remembering how oftentimes, and this goes a little bit with what you were talking about, what everyone was talking about last night on the panel, and when you were mentioning Nanda Kumar, remember Nanda Kumar was in a complete spiritual depression. I think he was practically breaking all the principles. And Prabhupada wrote and he said, now take sannyas. And oftentimes he would take a devotee who was in very bad condition and say, all right, now you be GBC, and now you become temple president, and you take this. And he would give them more responsibility to push them forward, even sometimes telling them, okay, it's not so important that you do all those other things, as long as you do the service. Go out there and do the work and get the work done for me because I need this done. So I'd like you to address that a little bit and how Prabhupada did some of those things, because I think that's an important part of how Prabhupada, you know, held on to us and to only any aspect of service that we were willing to render.
There's two aspects of that. One aspect is that we see sometimes if we were not given a certain type of service, we may have left. And so Prabhupada arranged some services. We go on some leadership or some management or doing this type of service rather than something else. And gradually, hopefully, we become purified from that. But also there's an interesting thing about the idea of kind of a forced renunciation. And it happened, I think, in one or two other cases, maybe even in Gurudas' case. Is that, at least from what he told me, that he kind of didn't want to take sannyas. But sometimes we are cheating. And sometimes we're making a farce of the process. And sometimes our actions are also interfering with others. And so the spiritual master can give us a service, and every service and position also carries a tax. Just like if a brahmachari falls down, a new devotee falls down, it is bad, it's a fall. But if a first initiated devotee falls down, it is worse. If a brahmin falls, it is worse. If a renunciate falls, it is worse. Because every time you're giving more opportunity to serve, to represent Krishna consciousness, every time you're giving more mercy, there's also a tax. We do not carry it out. So it is also like saying, I love you, I care about you, I want to help you, you are nonsense, here it is, do or die. In other words, giving you that position, now become that, make a real change, stop hiding, stop cheating, stop the deviation, or deal with the tax that comes with not doing it. And that's also love. Because love means that if we have a disease, to help us to see that disease, and then to know, and then to try to take care of that disease. But sometimes you can show somebody a disease, and then they are not eager, they are in denial, and they will not give care to that disease. So Prabhupada's love was, you know, was very soft sometimes, and sometimes it was also very direct and very, but some people may say harsh. But it was pinpointed love, in that sense, focused love in that way. Tough love, huh?
When Kaushalya and Mother Yamuna were speaking, they were. I was very struck by how they were saying how they were like doing 6 hours sankirtan every day, Harinam, and obviously chanting and reading the books, and most of all they were preaching, and how this had a very strong effect on how their relationships. They didn't even know if they were men or women or this that. So if there's problems in relationships today amongst God brothers, God sisters, or in between the two sexes, how might this be reflected by the present state of affairs in terms of people's, you know, spiritual life?
It's obvious. It's not a man or woman's problem. There's problem with relationships, there's problem with relationships. There's problem with proprietorship, there's problem of exploitation, and manipulation, there's a problem of that in general. And so, it has the transforming effect. By every medicine has also a way how to take that medicine. Every morning we chant the 10 offenses. And you chant the prayer about, you know, how you can mechanically chant and not get the effect. So something that is very powerful, very potent, it will give some help. But the more it is done with knowledge, and the more it is done as it is outlined to be taken in the way that it's to be taken, then it gives you, you know, all the effects. What Rupanuga was saying about diversity. It's not that everyone is going to have a flavor of wanting to be a pujari and do, you know, 4 hours of pujari service every day. It's not that everyone is going to have the mood of being in the kitchen and be inspired by doing that service every day. Was everyone going to be in the position of being able to go down and to distribute prasadam every day? But if we're talking about serious community, we should all appreciate whoever's doing that and see it as important and do something also to complement the general services that are, you know, that are going on. Now, it's not that a devotee, and we see even in the spiritual world there is variegatedness. Even amongst the same ras there is so much variegatedness. So variegatedness is not a problem for us, but it's a matter of consciousness, who we're doing it for and how we're doing it, based on how Krishna has outlined it, he is to receive.
Hare. One more question, Mother Janava has.
So much to address one pinpoint, and that is we've spoken about love and friendship and growth last night, and Prabhu was mentioning about how many of you are reading Isha Upanishad and Bhagavad Gita and Esther's Devotion every day. So, Srila Prabhupada's book, it seems that there are that our service attitude and our loving attitude towards Srila Prabhupada should be very much accelerated amongst ourselves. It's a very strong bondage. These books are so relative. One time in Ramananda will remember in 1969 in an airport arrival, Srila Prabhupada, he held up this one apple and he said, "We just one bite out of it." And it was just like, so Prabhupada said, our philosophy is not so. So, what we have in Srila Prabhupada's book, these are one of his colors, and to be able to assimilate them in our lives, we need to actually love them, which is spiritual. And like Uttar Nuj was saying, where we have all these different varnas and ashrams and so on and so forth, but no matter where we plug into Srila Prabhupada's book,
Nice question to end on, I think. As we talk about Desha Kalapatra, as we talk about Nibbana Krishna Sambandha, Yuktam Vairagya Uchite, it's a delicate matter because we always want to hold fast tenaciously to Prabhupada's books as our primary source. Everything else is secondary. It doesn't matter what it is. Every other scripture, every other activity is secondary to that. And we are to appreciate other things to the degree that they help to complement, to allow us to carry out more of what's in Prabhupada's books. So sometimes we may hear some little fanaticism that we shouldn't read anything else or do anything else. If it's going to help us in our primary activity, wonderful. And if it doesn't, then we want to be very afraid of it and get as far from it as possible. So, therefore, certain things have to be judged by the results. We see to what degree is it helping us to associate with devotees based on what is given to us by Sadhu, Shastra, and Guru. To what degree of what we're doing is encouraging us to have appreciation, you know, for the deities, for the appreciation of the mission that Prabhupada has given us. Or are we doing what? Are we finding ways to rationalize our sense gratification? Are we finding ways to minimize the vows that we've made? Or are we finding ways to do like the karmis, to suffer peacefully? The karmis basically making different permutations and commutations without really changing the situation, but they're just trying to see how to cope in such ways. But as you said, we relish the books, then we want to share the book, live the book, And we want to be able to have the book more than just as a historical or as a literary work, but as windows to the spiritual world. So we're all now in the process of, like, you know, being a branch, or being a branch of Lord Chaitanya's movement. And so we hope that sometime in the near future people will be reading, and they'll be reading about how Kausalya and Dramona did this, and how Rupa Nuga did this, and how Bhagavad did this. They read about these things, huh? And they should get enthusiasm and inspiration on the way that we try to commit ourselves to Prabhupada's service, remain faithful in spite of so many challenges and complications, etc. This is a live movement, not a dead movement. The last question.
As a final word, I came across a letter that Prabhupada had written in 1958 to Prabhupada wrote that, "I'm your spiritual master officially, but actually I consider you as my spiritual master, because when I see you boys and girls how nicely you're serving Krishna, I'm learning from you." So this is incomprehensible to me. And of course, this is the point how you began your lecture, that the master becomes the servant, and then the servant becomes the master.
See, you said in 30 seconds what it took me 45 minutes to say.
Thank you so much for that very enlightening discourse. Okay, this is the last part of the program for this morning before we have lunch. It'll take about 15 minutes. And beautiful to see those seeds sprout. And that is such a great, I feel, such a great honor to be in association and to be able to hear such a great preacher. So without any further wait, I want to introduce you to Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, who will be speaking on Servant of the Servant.
Srila Prabhupada ji, this confound the Tata Srila Prabhupada ji, Srila Prabhupada Sanchini Yogi. I don't know what I'm supposed to say after that wonderful presentation from Jamuna and Kausalya. It's like, you know, you sit down and you eat, and then you get dessert, and then somebody says, well, can I give you something to eat? I mean, what are you supposed to do? And then they bring salad, and you've already eaten? So maybe I'll try to say something so I won't take away from the spirit of what we've had to eat. If I can do that, then we can all leave still and be nourished. It's so interesting how I'm supposed to speak something about the servant of the servant. Speak some philosophy. But philosophy is very wonderful and most wonderful when we see it in the applied sense. Many of the things we were just hearing, there's so much application of Prabhupada's love, Prabhupada's compassion, Prabhupada's care, Prabhupada's attentiveness. Sometimes we would hear Prabhupada say how he saw his disciples as his own spiritual master, or his spiritual masters, in the sense of how the guru can see that Krishna has sent his spiritual master in many forms to be able to arrange to give service. Or we see another way of looking at the disciple. His disciple is a garland, flowers that come together that we put then on the spiritual master. So it was so wonderful hearing them speak about these things, because we were all literally taken on that magic carpet. But it was also very wonderful feeling the love between the two of them. I hope we all were able to share that as well, which was them carrying what Prabhupada has given as they share it with us, and as they connected in giving that and being able to give us such a flavor of Srila Prabhupada's association. Interesting is that what we see Bhagavad Gita tells us, Matita Magata Panam Boyantas Parasparam Katayantas Cha Manicha Tushanti Cha Romanticha. This is what clarifies and constitutes the devotee. When Sanatana Goswami is having discourse with Lord Chaitanya, and there's discussion about a devotee, and one of the significant things that comes up is about association. So we can appreciate how much we are devoted as we relish that and want to own or be more part of that, of the culture of devotion. This says we're all so attentive as we're hearing these stories, because this is our nourishment. Of course, the contrast of that, because in many cases, and many of you have to work in environments where you have to associate so much, where you are not hearing the Krishna Katha, but you're hearing so many other vibrations, and you're having to deal with so many situations that are not directly involved in Krishna consciousness. And it's difficult. And it should be difficult. If it's not difficult, then we have to kind of wonder why. Because in this discourse, emphasizing how much one should be afraid of material association, how much one, in the converse of that, is so much appreciates spiritual association. This says it is practically impossible for someone to become serious in their devotion if they are too much attached to mundane lifestyle patterns. And often we see that one of the ways that someone comes to devotional service is out of course knowledge, but also out of distress and out of curiosity. But not feeling satisfied with what normally is considered to be
success, or normally what material civilization has to offer. We want to go beyond that. We want to find out, yes, we're asking the whys and the hows. As we feel too comfortable in an environment where our beloved is not being appreciated, it should tell us something. Just as it'll be very difficult, many of your parents, very difficult for you to feel comfortable in an environment where someone you are associating with, you know that they do not like your child, that they despise your child. They would like to see your child not exist. Or they say harsh things or thinking harsh ways about someone who you love. Can you really be comfortable in that environment? You may care for them, but can you really be comfortable in that environment? And if you are comfortable in that environment, then there's some question about how much your love is really strong for your child or for your wife or your husband or whatever. Just as we would have trouble being in an environment where someone is not having proper consideration about Srila Prabhupada. We cannot tarry in such an environment. We cannot enjoy it in such an environment. We don't want to leave that environment. So if we are too comfortable in an environment where people are trying to literally deny the existence of Krishna, where people are trying to be Krishna, or an environment where people are very hostile about the whole conception of spirituality, we do not have to be harsh towards them, but we cannot embrace such a situation. But we want to embrace the Krishna Katha. Because as we are, the Prabhupada has shown us that example of servitude-ship, where Krishna, in Bhagavad Gita, how he does the most amazing thing. He is the servant of his devotee. He is eager and happy and delighted and exhilarated about being the servant. In many cases, obviously much more than being the master. I mean, just imagine the Supreme Lord being a taxi driver. I mean... It's not so one of the most, sought after jobs. Or Krishna washing everyone's feet at the, what, Rajasuya sacrifice. If we listen to some of these pastimes of Srila Prabhupada, we see to the degree that he extended himself. Such a royal personality, Nitya Siddha from the spiritual kingdom. How he made himself available for his devotees in many, many ways. Earlier times, of course, is a special flavor. Later times is a special flavor. Even now, our nieces and nephews, they are also special flavor, chance to associate with Prabhupada, associate with us, associate with what they hear. We understand paradukha dukhi kripam buddhi, that the devotee feels the miseries of others, the happiness of others. Lokanamita karanatra bhuvane. The Goswamis, they were so selfless, concerned about, they were preaching to the royal class at the same time. They were ready, available to deal with the common people, men, women, etc. But their position never changed in the sense that they were so much sharing their prema, their ecstasies, the whole planet, by writing shastra, by building temples. And literally, such great souls, such manjaris, such great entities coming to interact in these hellish environments, where there is so much attacking against the object of their affection. I mean, imagine Prabhupada being in this environment and having such love for his guru, having such love for Krishna, and having to deal with the material energy and having to deal with us, with all of our fears and doubts and anxieties and fighting amongst each other. And seeing so much lack of taking care of Krishna's energies in different ways. but wanting to share with us so much by being the servant of his guru, is ready to do such things. In cases of standing in the line in the going to the shower in the early days, teaching devotees how to clean, as mentioned by Kasalya yesterday, clean the floor, teaching devotees how to cook. He taught us everything from how to sleep to how to bathe to how to, you know, do every basic thing. Which just shows how hellish our existence is in mature energy. We don't even know how to go to the bathroom. We don't know how to eat. What to say of how to interact. The same gender or the opposite gender. A few short points I wanted to share. And not to belabor too many points. I want to keep the mood of what has been given to us. Matter of fact, maybe I can share one or two stories along with that mood with people who are not here. It's very nice when we hear about the Jadarani's case, for instance, how she explains how once she was on a walk with Srila Prabhupada, and of course she was very ill and very thin, and so she put on extra clothes so Prabhupada would not see how frail she was looking. But still, Prabhupada was attentive and he noticed. And he called her out on it and asked her about her eating and told her she should eat more dal and chapati, etc. Then the next day, he called in Satsuk Maharaj and explained how, as a father, giving his daughter, and he wanted Satsuk Maharaj to take care of her and to take her as his wife. So here a case of being attentive to all aspects of the environment and being attentive to all his servants and being personally concerned to try to see how to do something. Similar kind of nice story in 1974 in Geneva. Lilavati Dasi. She had been traveling with Prabhupada, just coming from India. And so they were visiting the temple in Switzerland. And she'd come down with serious illness, with jaundice. And so the devotees, they were all, of course, very excited. Prabhupada had come, and they were very happy, and everything was so focused on Srila Prabhupada and hearing from him and serving him. And so they put Lilavati in the room. And basically, she was there being practically unnoticed, very, very ill, very sick. So, at one point, Srila Prabhupada told the devotees, the leaders, the devotees, also some of the other devotees, that he wanted to go to the hospital to see her. Because later they arranged for her to go to the hospital. She got sicker and sicker. And devotees got everything ready. They got the vans, the cars are all ready to go. And then after everyone was ready, waiting for Prabhupada to come down, then Prabhupada told them they should go and see him. So they understood that one, he was thinking about her. Two, he was concerned and he wanted them to be concerned. And in order to help the effort of drawing attention to get them to help her, so he said he wanted to go and then he sent the devotees. Reflection on story of Bhuvijan's wife, I think Mr. Jagatarini Siddhasi. When she joined Simla in 1974, Mrs. Halsuda Prabhupada personally had told her to come into the room, and he spoke with her in so many ways, and he explained to her that directly that he would find her a nice husband. She is a nice girl, and he will find a nice husband for her. Of course, later she married a nice husband, Bhuvijan Prabhu. They had interesting service in Japan, difficult place, very, very difficult place to preach. But around that time, there were some difficulties. They were having some association that was contaminating, and there was some maya. So, Prabhupada himself personally came to visit them. And Bhuvijan explained that his wife, she was a borderline kid. And Srila Prabhupada spoke to them. And then he took off his gold ring, his own finger. And he kind of motioned and twirled it. And he gave it to her. Person. Later he left, went to Mayapur, and some short time after he arrived in Mayapur, he was on a walk with a brigade of sannyasis. Jagatarini happened to come upon Srila Prabhupada and sannyasis. Immediately he stopped his conversation with him. And he thanked her for coming and patted her on the head and then walked away. Being concerned about the consciousness that she was in, extending himself by giving something that he is wearing, something that is his own. And even while he is in this meeting with his renunciates, his world leaders at the world, on the world headquarters, that she comes and he is moved by that he extends himself and thanks you. So this we see is the similar mood of Krishna. And how, although he is controlling everything, Ahamsa Vasa Pababo, Mataksa Vampa Vajati, Iti Matra Bajangtema, Buddha Baba Samamataha. But even though he is so omnipotent, omniscient, etc., that he is the God who is sometimes running through the field with his face dirty as a cowherd boy. Huh? He is the Supreme Lord who is so meticulously concerned about all of his creation and his servitude that he dances with the gopis in the all-field that only Krishna is with them. That is, he is eating with the cowherd boys, they're all feeling that Krishna is only giving them the full sense of attention. That when he is dancing from the Ratiyad cart, every group is feeling that this love and focus that Krishna is giving is just for them. So we want to somehow pick up some just small amount of Prabhupada's concern for everyone. So that as we associate with each other, that we will feel, oh, he is my best friend, he is my best friend, he is my best friend. It's nice sometimes you see that there are some, it's rare, but you'll see there are some devotees who many people feel that, oh, this is my best friend in devotional service. Because one is feeling, oh, this person is so much attentive, concerned about my well-being. And how wonderful if that can be something that is shared. Because we see even people were sometimes so inimical and they came in front of in Prabhupada's presence. It's like there's an example of such of a meeting also in Europe where the devotees called a meeting of parents. And so many of the parents, they were furious. Like I think Brahmananda, your mother also, in the early days, she was very disturbed about you being a devotee. And as they had the meeting, Prabhupada talked to them. And one of the parents said how, we want to be angry at you, but we cannot. Because Prabhupada is his love, his charm, his care, his concern. And the parent, of course, wants the best for their child. They see such a loving, charming person. How can they feel too disturbed that their child is under the care of such a loving person? Because he is carrying the devotion of Krishna. Now we have these communities. And these communities are to help us to imbibe the spiritual culture. And these communities are to present us strong positive alternatives. See, if we associate, and in our association, we collectively come together to mutually suffer and tolerate, that is not going to produce a sense of longevity. But when we can have community, that by being in community, everyone benefits more than they would individually, then that is community. By being in community, we then benefit more by what? If in such community, we have a greater sense of protection than we would by living by ourselves, it's a good reason to be in community. If being in community, we have a greater sense of financial security, that we can depend on each other in certain ways like that, then everyone will be eager to be a part of such an environment. If being in community, we have male-female relationship problems, we have abilities to help each other to work things out, if we have problems with our children, we have abilities to work things out, then one, who will want to leave? And two, when anyone comes, they will feel so surcharged by the atmosphere that pervades that they will be eager to participate. When we can have such a mood of appreciation of services, this is Rupa Nuga was speaking about the diversity and the appreciation. Unity with diversity, diversity with unity. As there can be so much of the heterogeneity, things going on, but so much complementing each other, then people will be eager as they come around. They will be able to see themselves and to see how they can connect. You know, when you join something, you look to see yourself. If I'm a part of this, what does this mean for me? What does this mean for my future? Why so many of our children are kind of copying out? Because they're looking at ourselves, they're thinking, so if I do like this, do like that, then it means this will be my situation for the future. No, I'm not so sure. And so there is some incoherence. But as we are more the servants of each other, and that means by what we say, what we think, and what we create around us. Because to serve, it means relationship, it means interactions, it means doing things. Love comes from interactions, from things that we do and things that we share. And as we glorify service, then we're able to identify to come together more on what is our original nature as servitors, servants of Krishna. Prabhupada explained we're always serving something. Every relationship is involved in some type of service interactions. But we're trying to improve on the quality, and in some cases the quantity of those interactions. The Amish community has an interesting situation of how they administer some of their communities in terms of how they ban someone. So if a person has become rather obnoxious and has minimized the rules of conduct, the individual gets banned, shunned. And the way the person is banned, the shun is the real conception, is that no one will accept service from that person. But they will give service. That means if the person needs to have some people to help him with harvest, needs to help him to build his house, needs to help him to do something, whatever it may be, so many different things. They will do with the same zeal, the same enthusiasm as when the person was in good standing. But they will not accept any service from that person. So they send a signal about first the value of service, and they also let the person know, you are contaminated, but we love you. You are in illusion, in Maya, but we are not in denial of what you can be about and what you ultimately are, but we want you to know that what you presently are, it is not so wonderful for you or for the community. And in this way, service becomes such a high commodity. We're trying to train up some of the devotees in Gita Nagari, first in the science of bartering. Because so much we are locked in to the demonic paradigms. And in many cases, we have no choice for a while. But as we gradually make transitions, then we can begin to focus more on service And service can become a commodity. You can even have a service bank, even have service checks. Because everyone is important. Every devotee is important. And every service that the devotee offers is important because it is service ultimately under the umbrella of Srila Prabhupada, of Lord Chaitanya. And the Lord and His servants, Samahamsa Bhutteshu, they have no favorites. They do not need anything, but they are wanting our love, and so they make arrangements for our love to come through. So that whether one is acting as in the mood of Vaishya or Kshatriya or Brahmin, that all services are important. Whether one is sweeping the temple, washing the dishes, doing the farming, carpentry, plumbing, etc. That everyone is to feel that they have an important contribution to make. And even the most mundane psychologists and those who are evaluating the whole workforce field realize that when a person has a greater sense of well-being, they give a greater contribution to society. When someone feels protected and cared for and loved, then they do so much based on that love. When someone feels that they are not cared for, when they see that they're not protected, when they feel that they're just being tolerated, then how? How can they do their best? How can any of us do our best? Because we will feel so much. We evaluate ourselves based on how others deal with us. We see that with our children. You tell your child, you moron, you imbecile, there you go again, you nonsense, you knucklehead. Poor kid will start thinking, I'm a knucklehead, I'm a moron, I'm an imbecile. I can't do anything. But as we inspire them, based on what they do, and help them to see how to do better, then we have higher sense of achievement. When I was mentioning this morning about the conversation I was having with, the first conversation with Nelson Mandela, and I mentioned about speaking about the difference between things that are liberating or can help advancement of human civilization, conscious raising, in contrast to just anything goes without proper order or etiquette, etc., and the calamities that happen when such is there. One of the things I didn't mention is that when I visited the country the first time, after a long time, I was shocked. I opened up the local newspaper, and there was so much pornography, and just a regular newspaper you buy on the stands or people are passing out door-to-door, etc. And so when I discussed the fact that there's a difference between human and civic rights and arranging an environment where people just become animalistic or their lower tendencies become activated. So as we look at social development, we look at these various issues, none of us want to open up as sort of avenues where we no longer have Vedic culture. But at the same time, spiritual life is about growth. If we have the same consciousness today that we had 5 years ago, even 5 months ago, something's wrong. The process works. It's a science. And if we are getting the electrified current, then we are gaining more detachment towards sense gratification, more love of Vaishnavas, more appreciation each year, more and more what Srila Prabhupada has given in his unique position, and more eagerness to cherish and to hold on to what he's given. As we have more appreciation of how we're unworthy of it, but we've been given. I was sharing with some devotees the other day in Miami that our position is something similar to, it's like little Bhagwat Chow. What is his age? About 5 years old. So imagine now, he's 5 years old, because he's quite an ingenious kid. But imagine if he's put into high school. Of course, this is hypothetical, not such a good example, but you'll understand the principle. It will be so far beyond his situation, his natural situation. He didn't really mean that, did he? So we can't manage ourselves out of a paper bag. I mean, we have so many problems on every angle, every side. What is this? And so I was explaining, just like the little sparrow who's going to drink up the ocean and how Garuda came to help. It's not that we can save the world. It's not that we can make a serious change in the world, but it's that Krishna will do. And it is a matter of what avenues Krishna comes through. And coming through means so much becoming free of sense gratification, free of a hunker or a false ego, and Krishna has no favorites. Can use anyone. But it's for us to move out of the way. One of Prabhupada's servants, Nanda Kumara, I was just speaking with him last year in Arizona. And he was saying how Prabhupada told him personally on his face that in our lifetime we will see the establishment of Varnashram Dharma. How? Where we're at? How? That means either one or two things. I mean, we're already three-fourths dead, most of us. Some a little more than that. Huh? We're 50, 55, 45. We live a normal lifespan, 70-something years. Our life is basically gone. So once we should be thinking, you know, we got a few more years if we have to struggle this way, all right, no problem. We look and see what has been our life in the past, and at least we want to make these last years with quality. So that means, in spite of ourselves, there will be massive changes. Because it is Krishna's plan. And for massive changes to take place, it means accessing the very polarity. There's always the demonic, the pious, and the impious energies. And situations going on. There's always the demons and the devotees. Or the demons and the demigods. Always. Those oppositions are there. And there's always the recruiting in the camps. And we see that happening today. So much demarcation is going on. People becoming more and more grossly sinful. More and more empoweredly sinful. Engaged in all kinds of demonic types of rituals. And at the same time, we see some unusual things happening. So will Krishna leave us at the mercy of these demons? I mean, look at our computers. It's frightening what the computer can do. It's frightening. to think of all the information and the control and how things are being processed. We are slaves already. Less than 1% here in America. Less than 1% of the top richest people in America control over 95% of all the assets. That the average person in America, whether it's middle class, medium class, lower class, upper class, is basically working so that they can get some money, dress a little nicely, have a little nice car, have some house, have some food, so they can healthily go and work for somebody else and make money for someone else. Will we just be at the mercy of these demons? Right now we see the judicial section of the government against the legislative, against FBI, FBI, against CIA, everybody, nobody has any allegiance. Haven't we just seen this a few days ago? Federal government has closed. Are they telling us something? They've closed because of the partisan politics. They've closed because of the snow. Huh? Do we think that the federal government is going to go on? It's already shown that it is closing. Already there are states that are trying to buy out of the federal system. It's only a matter of time. Why should they keep putting in, and getting so little out? Putting in, and they're hearing about cheating presidents, cheating vice presidents, cheating senators, cheating congressmen. So many things that we're thinking that we're having as security, they're already going right before us. People are waiting for their pensions. Pensions are not going to be there. Social security system is falling apart. Welfare system is about to be kicked far as anything. So we have a wonderful chance to bond, to access divine intervention. Prabhupada says there's an indivisible line of connection between the devotees and the demigods. Who's controlling the rain? Who's controlling the wind? Who's controlling the earthquakes and the tornadoes and things that are onslaughting the planet? These are the servants of the pure devotees. See, the Prabhupada is a pure devotee. He is one who can summon the assistance of the devas. As he has his personal love, is he going to leave us? Do you leave your child to be slaughtered? No. When you see your children are in distress, your love, it comes out even more. But that love is there. As we connect with it, then we can experience that and run with that love. So let us be more the servants of each other. As we try to create that kind of atmosphere, everything is basically a force field. Things are happening in different parts of the world, different situations, based on the collective energy of that environment. Why did the demigods stop coming to the planet actively? Because the nature of the environment was no longer inviting. As we have a consciousness that invites, then so much empowerment is there in so many, many ways. This year being Prabhupada's centennial, it is not just something for us, but it is a chance for the world to be able to connect more with what Prabhupada has to offer and has given. It's a chance for us to remind ourselves why we join. Every day we kind of have to join the Hare Krishna movement again. We have to reflect, why did I join this movement? Why am I undergoing these difficulties? And what are the goals that are available? And as we remind ourselves, particularly as we show each other from our examples, just as in sports or a group of musicians, they so much help each other by collective participation. And we are what we collectively have to share. So Krishna Prabhupada is waiting for us. Their love has never stopped. Their blessings have never stopped. The Acharya's blessings have never stopped. Either we all have been given the most amazing sham by all the great Acharyas and even the prophets of other traditions, because they all say this is not our home. They all emphasize, as we surrender, God rewards somehow accordingly. So either they've all, even though they've come at different times, different traditions, different parts of the world,
and somehow they came up with this amazing lie and big hype to put on the world. Either that's the case, or there is some truth. And if it's truth, we have to be hungry and greedy for it, and let it work. So, I'm going to stop here. But as we are the servants of the servants, then we reconstitute our original position. And the way we most serve each other is we have to create an environment that becomes encouraging to allow us to persevere. We're practically just on a persevere course. I mean, things are changing so much that we're practically just on a persevering course, and Maya has so many tricks. One of Maya's tricks is just to get you grossly in sense gratification. If Maya can't get you and beat you down by gross sense gratification, Maya wants to make you so bewildered, so distracted, so depressed, that you then do not access the keys of devotion that we have. Just as you deposit something in the bank. Just think, in this community, there are more people who've made more deposits in Krishna consciousness than any place in the world. Every time we water Tulsi, every time we run around Tulsi, every time we have darshan, every time we take charanamrita, every time we distribute a book, every time we hear bhajan and kirtan, chant around, every one of those activities is making spiritual deposits in our eternal bank account. What happens? When you're depositing in the bank, you don't feel it. But one day, you have a chance to draw out and to invest. And then you're happy to see what you have. We have been putting so much in the bank accounts. And there's time for many souls to draw up on those accounts. But Maya wants to make us think, we ain't got nothing. Huh? And then we lose such a wonderful chance to use what has happened. So be like the track star who's running and who's tired. But he's tired and he's thinking, I only got another lap. And therefore, I'm going to continue. Not to be tired and thinking, how can I go on with this? One fry, one thing after another, one complexity after another. I've had it. I'm checking out. I'm going to worship Lord Shiva. Om Namo Shivaya. Some people are doing that. But we want to somehow realize, just as they gave us these wonderful stories of how Prabhupada cared, he still cares. We especially experience Prabhupada's care through each other. Sudama, I end with this. So Sudama, and he mentions on the tapes, the Prabhupada, let's see, memory tape. And he mentioned how Prabhupada told him that when he left, I can't remember the exact details, but I'll summarize so we can end also. And Prabhupada told Sudama that he would be able to hear him through the devotees. He would be able to remember him through the devotees. So we can more and more appreciate Prabhupada. We all felt Prabhupada's presence as they were talking. As we hear from some of you, and you tell different things, it puts us like in a trance state. Any three or four of you, if you go out here and you start talking about Prabhupada, you'll go, and someone who comes next to you will put in an altered state. Because that is the potency of the transmission. Some of Prabhupada is coming through. So we want to do more and more things that create environments that allow us to be more reinforced as the servant of the servants, so that we have more of this presence of Prabhupada. And then we let Prabhupada do what he wants to do, what he has to do. Hare Krishna.
Vivo. Maharaj, there are at least two questions. One I'd like to ask briefly, and then Shyamasundara Prabhu has one question to ask. You were talking before about the Amish and how they won't accept service from someone who's been shunned. And I'm just remembering, and I'd like you to address this issue. I'm just remembering how oftentimes, and this goes a little bit with what you were talking about, what everyone was talking about last night on the panel, and when you were mentioning Nanda Kumar. I remember Nanda Kumar was in a complete spiritual depression.
I think he was practically breaking all the principles. And Prabhupada brought him, he said, now take sannyas. And oftentimes he would take a devotee who was in very bad condition and say, all right, now you be GBC, and now you become temple president, and you take this. And he would give them more responsibility to push them forward, even sometimes telling them, okay, it's not so important that you do all those other things, as long as you do the service. Go out there and do the work and get the work done for me because I need this done. So I'd like you to address that a little bit and how Prabhupada did some of those things, because I think that's an important part of how Prabhupada, you know, held on to us and to only any aspect of service that we were willing to render.
There's two aspects of that. One aspect is that we see sometimes if we were not given a certain type of service, we may have left. And so Prabhupada arranged some services. We go on some leadership or some management or doing this type of service rather than something else. And gradually, hopefully, we become purified from that. But also there's an interesting thing about the idea of kind of a forced renunciation. And it happened, I think, in one or two other cases, maybe even in Gurudas' case. Is that, at least from what he told me, that he kind of didn't want to take sannyas. But sometimes we are cheating. And sometimes we're making a farce of the process. And sometimes our actions are also interfering with others. And so the spiritual master can give us a service, and every service and position also carries a tax. Just like if a brahmachari falls down, a new devotee falls down, it is bad, it's a fall. But if a first initiated devotee falls down, it is worse. If a Brahmin falls, it is worse. If a renunciate falls, it is worse. Because every time you're giving more opportunity to serve, to represent Krishna consciousness, every time you're giving more mercy, there's also a tax. We do not carry it out. So, it is also like saying, I love you, I care about you, I want to help you, you are nonsense, here it is, do or die. In other words, giving you that position, now become that, make a real change, stop hiding, stop cheating, stop the deviation, or deal with the tax that comes with not doing it. And that's also love. Because love means that if we have a disease, to help us to see that disease, and then to know, and then to try to take care of that disease. But sometimes you can show somebody a disease, and then they are not eager, they are in denial, and they will not give care to that disease. So Prabhupada's love was, you know, was very soft sometimes, and sometimes it was also very direct and very, but some people may say harsh. But it was pinpointed love, in that sense, focused love in that way. Tough love, huh?
When Kaushalya and Mother Yamuna were speaking, they were, I was very struck by how they were saying how they were like doing 6 hours Sankirtan every day, Harinam, and obviously chanting and reading the books, and most of all they were preaching, and how this had a very strong effect on how their relationships, they didn't even know if they were men or women or this or that. So if there's problems in relationships today amongst God brothers, God sisters, or in between the two sexes, how might this be reflected by the present state of affairs in terms of people's, you know, spiritual life?
It's obvious. It's not a man or woman's problem. There's problem with relationships, there's problem with relationships. There's problem with proprietorship, there's problem of exploitation, manipulation, there's a problem of that in general. And so, yes. It has the transforming effect. By every medicine has also a way how to take that medicine. Every morning we chant the 10 offenses. And you chant the prayer about, you know, how you can mechanically chant and not get the effect. So something that is very powerful, very potent, it will give some help. But the more it is done with knowledge, and the more it is done as it is outlined to be taken in the way that it's to be taken, then it gives you, you know, all the effects. What Rupa Nuga was saying about diversity. It's not that everyone is going to have a flavor of wanting to be a pujari and do, you know, 4 hours of pujari service every day. It's not that everyone is going to have the mood of being in the kitchen and be inspired by doing that service every day. Or is everyone going to be in the position of being able to go down and to distribute prasadam every day? But if we're talking about serious community, we should all appreciate whoever's doing that and see it as important and do something also to complement the general services that are, you know, that are going on. Now, it's not that a devotee, and we see even in the spiritual world there is variegatedness. Even amongst the same ras there is so much variegatedness. So variegatedness is not a problem for us, but it's a matter of consciousness, who we're doing it for and how we're doing it, based on how Krishna has outlined it, he is to receive.
Ready. Just one more question, Mother Janava has.
So much to address one pinpoint. And that is, we've spoken about love and friendship and growth. Last night, Nimuna Prabhu was mentioning about how many of you are reading Isha Upanishad and Bhagavad Gita and extra devotion every day. So, Srila Prabhupada's book, it seems that there are that our service attitude and our loving attitude towards Srila Prabhupada should be very much accelerated amongst ourselves. It's a very strong bondage. These books are so relative. One time in Ramananda, we remember in 1959 in an airport arrived with Srila Prabhupada. He held up this one apple and he said, "Keep this one bite out of it." And it was just like, so Prabhupada said, our philosophy is not that. So, what we have in Srila Prabhupada's book is the secret of life is giving them. And to be able to assimilate them in our lives means to actually love them and to serve them. And like Rupa Nuga was saying, where we have all these different varnas and ashrams and so on and so forth, but no matter where we plug into Srila Prabhupada's book, we can turn them to solve our problems with life, even if it's for a moment.
And nice question to end on, I think. As we talk about Desha Kalapatra, as we talk about Nibbana Krishna Sambandha, Yuktam by Raja Uchite, it's a delicate matter because we always want to hold fast tenaciously to Prabhupada's books as our primary source. Everything else is secondary. It doesn't matter what it is. Every other scripture, every other activity is secondary to that. And we are to appreciate other things to the degree that they help to complement, to allow us to carry out more of what's in Prabhupada's books. So sometimes we may hear some little fanaticism that we shouldn't read anything else or do anything else. If it's going to help us in our primary activity, wonderful. And if it doesn't, then we want to be very afraid of it and get as far from it as possible. So, therefore, certain things have to be judged by the results. We see to what degree is it helping us to associate with devotees based on what is given to us by Sadhu, Shastra, and Guru. To what degree of what we're doing is encouraging us to have appreciation, you know, for the deity, for the appreciation of the mission that Prabhupada has given us. Or are we doing what? Are we finding ways to rationalize our sense gratification? Are we finding ways to minimize the vows that we've made? Or are we finding ways to do like the karmis, to suffer peacefully? The karmis basically making different permutations without really changing the situation, but they're just trying to see how to cope in such ways. But as you said, we relish the books, then we want to share the book, live the book, and we want to be able to have the book more than just as a historical or as a literary work, but as windows to the spiritual world. So we're all now in the process of, like, you know, being a branch, or being a branch of Lord Chaitanya's movement. And so we would like, we hope that sometime in the near future, people will be reading, and they'll be reading about how Kausalya and Jamuna did this, and how Rupanuga did this, and how Bhagavad did this. They read about these things, huh? And they get to get enthusiasm and inspiration on the way that we try to commit ourselves to Prabhupada's service, remain faithful in spite of so many challenges and complications, etc. This is a live movement, not a dead movement. Last question.
As a final word, I came across a letter that Prabhupada had written to the 1968
Jaramani. Prabhupada wrote that, "I'm your spiritual master officially, but actually I consider you as my spiritual master, because when I see you boys and girls, how nicely you're serving Krishna, I'm learning from you." Yeah. So this is incomprehensible to me. And of course, this is the point how you began your lecture, that the master becomes the servant, and then the servant becomes the master.
See, you said in 30 seconds what it took me 45 minutes to say.
Thank you so much for that very enlightening discourse. Okay, this is the last part of the program for this morning before we have lunch. It'll take about 15 minutes. And wonderful to see those seeds sprout. And that is such a great, I feel, such a great honor to be in association and to be able to hear such a great preacher. So without any further wait, I want to introduce you to Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, who will be speaking on Servant of the Servant.
Srila Prabhupada ji, his confounded father, Srila Prabhupada ji, Srila Prabhupada Sanchini Yogi.
I don't know what I'm supposed to say after that wonderful presentation from Jamuna and Kasalya. It's like, you know, you sit down and you eat, and then you get dessert, and then somebody says, well, can I give you something to eat? I mean, what are you supposed to do? And then they bring salad, and you've already eaten? So maybe I'll try to say something so I won't take away from the spirit of what we've had to eat. If I can do that, then we can all leave still and be nourished. It's so interesting how I'm supposed to speak something about the servant of the servant, speak some philosophy. But philosophy is very wonderful, and most wonderful when we see it in the applied sense. Many of the things we were just hearing, there's so much application of Prabhupada's love, Prabhupada's compassion, Prabhupada's care, Prabhupada's attentiveness. Sometimes we would hear Prabhupada say how he saw his disciples as his own spiritual master, or his spiritual masters, in the sense of how the guru can see that Krishna has sent his spiritual master in many forms to be able to arrange to give service. Or we see another way of looking at the disciple. His disciple is a garland, flowers that come together that we put then on the spiritual master. So it was so wonderful hearing them speak about these things, because we were all literally taken on that magic carpet. But it was also very wonderful feeling the love between the two of them. I hope we all were able to share that as well, which was them carrying what Prabhupada has given as they shared with us, and as they connected in giving that and being able to give us such a flavor of Srila Prabhupada's association. Interesting is that what we see Bhagavad Gita tells us, Matita Magata Panam Boyantas Parasparam Katayantas Cha Manicha Tushanti Cha Romanticha. This is what clarifies and constitutes the devotee. When Sanatana Goswami is having discourse with Lord Chaitanya, and there's discussion about a devotee, and one of the significant things that comes up is about association. So we can appreciate how much we are devoted as we relish that and want to own or be more part of that, of the culture of devotion. Just as we're all so attentive as we're hearing these stories, because this is our nourishment. Of course, the contrast of that, because in many cases, and many of you have to work in environments where you have to associate so much, where you are not hearing the Krishna Katha, but you're hearing so many other vibrations, and you're having to deal with so many situations that are not directly involved in Krishna consciousness. And it's difficult. And it should be difficult. If it's not difficult, then we have to kind of wonder why. Because in this discourse, it's emphasizing how much one should be afraid of material association, how much one, in the converse of that, is so much appreciates spiritual association. This says it is practically impossible for someone to become serious in their devotion if they are too much attached to mundane lifestyle patterns. And often we see that one of the ways that someone comes to devotional service is out of course knowledge, but also out of distress and out of curiosity. But not feeling satisfied with what normally is considered to be
success, or normally what material civilization has to offer. We want to go beyond that. We want to find out, yes, we're asking the whys and the hows. As we feel too comfortable in an environment where our beloved is not being appreciated, it should tell us something. Just as it'll be very difficult, many of your parents, very difficult for you to feel comfortable in an environment where someone you're associating with, you know that they do not like your child, that they despise your child. They would like to see your child not exist. Or they say harsh things or thinking harsh ways about someone who you love. Can you really be comfortable in that environment? You may care for them, but can you really be comfortable in that environment? And if you are comfortable in that environment, then there's some question about how much your love is really strong for your child or for your wife or your husband or whatever. Just as we would have trouble being in an environment where someone is not having proper consideration about Srila Prabhupada. We cannot tarry in such an environment. We cannot enjoy it in such an environment. We want to leave that environment. So if we are too comfortable in an environment where people are trying to literally deny the existence of Krishna, where people are trying to be Krishna, or in an environment where people are very hostile about the whole conception of spirituality, we do not have to be harsh toward them, but we cannot embrace such a situation. So we want to embrace the Krishna Katha. Because as we are, the Prabhupada has shown us that example of servitudeship, where Krishna, in Bhagavad Gita, how he does the most amazing thing. He is the servant of his devotee. He is eager and happy and delighted and exhilarated about being the servant. In many cases, obviously much more than being the master. I mean, just imagine the Supreme Lord being a taxi driver. I mean... It's not one of the most, sought after job. Or Krishna washing everyone's feet at the, what, Rajasuya sacrifice. If we listen to some of these pastimes of Srila Prabhupada, we see to the degree that he extended himself. Such a royal personality, Nitya Siddha from the spiritual kingdom. How he made himself available for his devotees in many, many ways. Earlier times, of course, is a special flavor. Later times is a special flavor. Even now, our nieces and nephews, they are also special flavor, chance to associate with Prabhupada, associate with us, associate with what they hear. We understand para dukkha dukkhi kripam buddhi, that the devotee feels the miseries of others, the happiness of others. Lokanamita karanatra bhuvane. The Goswamis, they were so selfless, concerned about, they were preaching to the royal class at the same time. They were ready, available to deal with the common people, men, women, etc. But their position never changed in the sense that they were so much sharing their prema, their ecstasy, the whole planet, by writing shastra, by building temples. And literally, such great souls, such manjaris, such great entities coming to interact in these hellish environments, where there is so much attacking against the object of their affection. I mean, imagine Prabhupada being in this environment and having such love for his guru, having such love for Krishna, and having to deal with the material energy and having to deal with us, with all of our fears and doubts and anxieties and fighting amongst each other, and seeing so much lack of taking care of Krishna's energies in different ways. but wanting to share with us so much by being a servant of his guru, is ready to do such things. In cases of standing in the line in the shower, going to the shower in the early days, teaching devotees how to clean, as was mentioned by Kasalya yesterday, clean the floor, teaching devotees how to cook. He taught us everything from how to sleep to how to bathe to how to, you know, do every basic thing. Which just shows how hellish our existence is in material energy. We don't even know how to go to the bathroom. We don't know how to eat. What to say of how to interact. The same gender or the opposite gender. A few short points I wanted to share, and not to belabor too many points. I want to keep the mood of what has been given to us. Matter of fact, maybe I can share one or two stories along with that mood with people who are not here. It's very nice when we hear about the Jadarani's case, for instance, how she explains how once she was on a walk with Srila Prabhupada, and of course she was very ill and very thin, and so she put on extra clothes so Prabhupada would not see how frail she was looking. But still, Prabhupada was attentive and he noticed. And he called her out on it and asked her about her eating and told her she should eat more dal and chapati, etc. Then the next day he called in Satsuk Maharaj and explained how, as a father giving his daughter, and he wanted Satsuk Maharaj to take care of her and to take her as his wife. So here a case of being attentive to all aspects of the environment and being attentive to all his servants and being personally concerned to try to see how to do something. Similar kind of nice story in 1974 in Geneva. The Lilavati Dasi, she had been traveling with Prabhupada, just coming from India. And so they were visiting the temple in Switzerland. And she'd come down with serious illness, with jaundice. And so the devotees, they were all, of course, very excited. Prabhupada had come, and they were very happy, and everything was so focused on Srila Prabhupada and hearing from him and serving him. And so they put Lilavati in the room. And basically she was there being practically unnoticed, very, very ill, very sick. So, at one point, Srila Prabhupada told the devotees, the leaders, the devotees, also some of the other devotees, that he wanted to go to the hospital to see her. Because later they arranged for her to go to the hospital. She got sicker and sicker. And devotees got everything ready. They got the vans, the cars are all ready to go. And then after everyone was ready, waiting for Prabhupada to come down, and Prabhupada told them they should go and see her. So they understood that, one, he was thinking about her. Two, he was concerned, and he wanted them to be concerned. And in order to help the effort of drawing attention to get them to help her, so he said he wanted to go, and then he sent the devotees. Reflection on story of Bhuvijan's wife, I think Mr. Jagatarini Siddhasi. When she joined Simla in 1974, Mrs. Halsita Prabhupada personally had told her to come into the room, and he spoke with her in so many ways, and he explained to her that directly that he would find her a nice husband. She is a nice girl, and he will find a nice husband for her. Of course, later she married a nice husband, Bhuvijan Prabhu. They had interesting service in Japan, difficult place, very, very difficult place to preach. But around that time, there was some difficulties. They were having some association that was contaminating, and there was some maya. So Prabhupada himself personally came to visit them. And Bhuvijan explained that his wife, she was a borderline kid. And Srila Prabhupada spoke to them. And then he took off his gold ring, his own finger. And he kind of motioned and twirled it. And he gave it to her. First. Later he left, went to Mayapur, and some short time after he arrived in Mayapur, he was on a walk with a brigade of sannyasis. Jagatarini happened to come upon Srila Prabhupada and sannyasis. Immediately he stopped his conversation with them. And he thanked her for coming. And patted her on the head. And then walked away. Being concerned about the consciousness that she was in, extending himself by giving something that he is wearing, something that is his own. And even while he is in this meeting with his renunciates, his world leaders, at the world, on the world headquarters, that she comes and he is moved by that he extends himself and thanks her. So this, we see, is the similar mood of Krishna. And how, although he is controlling everything, Ahamsa Vasa Pababo, Mataksa Vampa Vajate, Iti Matva Vajangte Ma, Buddha Bhava Samamitaha. But even though he is so omnipotent, omniscient, etc., that he is the God who is sometimes running through the field with his face dirty as a cowherd boy. Huh? He is the Supreme Lord who is so meticulously concerned about all of his creation and his servitude that he dances with the gopis in the all field that only Krishna is with them. That is, he is eating with the cowherd boys, they're all feeling that Krishna is only giving them the full sense of attention. That when he is dancing from the Ratiyad cart, every group is feeling that this love and focus that Krishna is giving is just for them. So we want to somehow pick up some just small amount of Prabhupada's concern for everyone. So that as we associate with each other, that we will feel, oh, he is my best friend, he is my best friend. It's nice sometimes you see that there are some, it's rare, but you'll see there are some devotees who many people feel that, oh, this is my best friend in devotional service. Because one is feeling, oh, this person is so much attentive, concerned about my well-being. And how wonderful if that can be something that is shared. Because we see even people were sometimes so inimical and they came in front of, in Prabhupada's presence. It's like there's an example of such, of a meeting also in Europe where the devotees called a meeting of parents. And so many of the parents, they were furious. Like I think Brahmananda, your mother also, in the early days, she was very disturbed about you being a devotee. And as they had the meeting, Prabhupada talked to them. And one of the parents said how, we want to be angry at you, but we cannot. Because Prabhupada is his love, his charm, his care, his concern. And the parent, of course, wants the best for their child. They see such a loving, charming person. How can they feel too disturbed that their child is under the care such a loving person, because he is carrying the devotion of Krishna. Now we have these communities, and these communities are to help us to imbibe the spiritual culture, and these communities are to present us strong positive alternatives. See, if we associate, and in our association, we collectively come together to mutually suffer and tolerate. That is not going to produce a sense of longevity. But when we can have community, that by being in community,
everyone benefits more than they would individually, then that is community. By being in community, we then benefit more by what? If in such community, we have a greater sense of protection than we would by living by ourselves, it's a good reason to be in community. If being in community, we have a greater sense of financial security, that we can depend on each other in certain ways like that, then everyone will be eager to be a part of such an environment. If being in community, we have male-female relationship problems, we have abilities to help each other, to work things out. If we have problems with our children, we have abilities to work things out. Then one, who will want to leave? And two, when anyone comes, they will feel so surcharged by the atmosphere that pervades that they will be eager to participate. When we can have such a mood of appreciation of services, this is Rupa Nuga was speaking about the diversity and the appreciation. Unity with diversity, diversity with unity. As there can be so much of the heterogeneity, things going on, but so much complementing each other, then people will be eager as they come around. They will be able to see themselves and to see how they can connect. You know, when you join something, you look to see yourself. If I'm a part of this, what does this mean for me? What does this mean for my future? Why so many of our children are kind of copying out? Because they're looking at ourselves, they're thinking, so if I do like this, do like that, then it means this will be my situation for the future. No, I'm not so sure. And so there is some incoherence. But as we are more the servants of each other, and that means by what we say, what we think, and what we create around us. Because to serve, it means relationship, it means interactions, it means doing things. Love comes from interactions, from things that we do and things that we share. And as we glorify service, then we're able to identify to come together more on what is our original nature as servitors, servants of Krishna. Prabhupada explained we're always serving something. Every relationship is involved in some type of service interaction. But we're trying to improve on the quality and in some cases, the quantity of those interactions. The Amish community has an interesting situation of how they administer some of their communities in terms of how they ban someone. So if a person has become rather obnoxious and has minimized the rules of conduct, the individual gets banned. Shunned. And the way the person is banned, the shun is the real conception, is that no one will accept service from that person. But they will give service. That means if the person needs to have some people to help him with harvest, needs to help him to build his house, needs to help him to do something, whatever it may be, so many different things. They will do with the same zeal, the same enthusiasm as when the person was in good standing. But they will not accept any service from that person. So they send a signal about first the value of service, and they also let the person know you are contaminated, but we love you. You are in illusion, in Maya, but we are not in denial of what you can be about and what you ultimately are, but we want you to know that what you presently are, it is not so wonderful for you or for the community. And in this way, service becomes such a high commodity. We're trying to train up some of the devotees in Gita Nagari, first in the science of bartering. Because so much we are locked in to the demonic paradigms. And in many cases, we have no choice for a while. But as we gradually make transitions, then we can begin to focus more on service And service can become a commodity. You can even have a service bank, even have service checks. Because everyone is important. Every devotee is important. And every service that the devotee offers is important because it is service ultimately under the umbrella of Srila Prabhupada, of Lord Chaitanya. And the Lord and His servant, Samahamsa Bhutteshu, they have no favors. They do not need anything, but they are wanting our love, and so they make arrangements for our love to come through. So that whether one is acting as in the mood of Vaishya or Kshatriya or Brahmin, that all services are important. Whether one is sweeping the temple, washing the dishes, doing the farming, carpentry, plumbing, etc. That everyone is to feel that they have an important contribution to make. And even the most mundane psychologists and those who are evaluating the whole workforce field realize that when a person has a greater sense of well-being, they give a greater contribution to society. When someone feels protected and cared for and loved, then they do so much based on that love. When someone feels that they are not cared for, when they see that they're not protected, when they feel that they are just being tolerated, then how can they do their best? How can any of us do our best? Because we will feel so much. We evaluate ourselves based on how others deal with us. We see that with our children. You tell your child, "You moron, you imbecile, there you go again, you nonsense, you knucklehead." Poor kid will start thinking, "I'm a knucklehead, I'm a moron, I'm an imbecile. I can't do anything." But as we inspire them, based on what they do, and help them to see how to do better, then we have higher sense of achievement. When I was mentioning this morning about the conversation I was having with, the first conversation with Nelson Mandela, and I mentioned about speaking about the difference between things that are liberating or can help advancement of human civilization, conscious raising, in contrast to just anything goes without proper order or etiquette, etc., and the calamities that happen when such is there. One of the things I didn't mention is that when I visited the country the first time, after a long time, I was shocked. I opened up the local newspaper, and there was so much pornography. And just a regular newspaper you buy on the stands, or people are passing out door to door, etc. And so when I discussed the fact that there's a difference between human and civic rights and arranging an environment where people just become animalistic or their lower tendencies become activated. So as we look at social development, we look at these various issues, none of us want to open up as sort of avenues where we no longer have Vedic culture. But at the same time, spiritual life is about growth. If we have the same consciousness today that we had 5 years ago, even 5 months ago, something's wrong. The process works. It's a science. And if we are getting the electrified current, then we are gaining more detachment towards sense gratification, more love of Vaishnavas, more appreciation each year, more and more what Srila Prabhupada has given in his unique position, and more eagerness to cherish and to hold on to what he's given. As we have more appreciation of how we're unworthy of it, but we've been given it. I was sharing with some devotees the other day in Miami that our position is something similar to, just like little Bhagwat's child. What is his age? About 5 years old. So imagine now, he's 5 years old, because he's quite an ingenious kid. But imagine if he's put into high school. Of course, this is hypothetical, not such a good example, but you'll understand the principle. It will be so far beyond his situation, his natural situation.
He didn't really mean that, did he? So we can't manage ourselves out of a paper bag. I mean, we have so many problems on every angle, every side. See, what is this? And so I was explaining, just like the little sparrow who's going to drink up the ocean and how Garuda came to help. It's not that we can save the world. It's not that we can make a serious change in the world, but it's that Krishna will do. And it is a matter of what avenues Krishna comes through. And coming through means so much becoming free of sense gratification, free of ahankara, our false ego, and Krishna has no favorites. Can use anyone. But it's for us to move out of the way. One of Prabhupada's servants, Nanda Kumara, I was just speaking with him last year in Arizona. And he was saying how Prabhupada told him personally on his face that in our lifetime we will see the establishment of Varnashram Dharma. How? Where are we at? How? That means either one or two things. I mean, we're already three-fourths dead, most of us. Some a little more than that. We're 50, 55, 45. We live a normal lifespan, 70-something years. Our life is basically gone. So once we should be thinking, you know, we got a few more years. If we have to struggle this way, all right, no problem. We look and see what has been our life in the past, and at least we want to make these last years with quality. So that means, in spite of ourselves, there will be massive changes. Because it is Krishna's plan. And for massive changes to take place, it means accessing the very polarity. There's always the demonic, the pious, and the impious energies. And situations going on. There's always the demons and the devotees. Or the demons and the demigods. Always. Those oppositions are there. And there's always the recruiting in the camps. And we see that happening today. So much demarcation is going on. People becoming more and more grossly sinful. More and more empoweredly sinful. Engaged in all kinds of demonic types of rituals. And at the same time, we see some unusual things happening. So will Krishna leave us at the mercy of these demons? I mean, look at our computers. It's frightening what the computer can do. It's frightening. We think of all the information and the control and how things are being processed. We are slaves already. Less than 1% here in America. Less than 1% of the top richest people in America control over 95% of all the assets. That the average person in America, whether it's middle class, medium class, lower class, upper class, is basically working so that they can get some money, dress a little nicely, have a little nice car, have some house, have some food, so they can healthily go and work for somebody else and make money for someone else. Will we just be at the mercy of these demons? Right now we see the judicial section of the government against the legislative, against FBI, FBI, against CIA, everybody, nobody has any allegiance. Haven't we just seen just a few days ago, federal government has closed? Are they telling us something? They've closed because of the partisan politics? They've closed because of the snow? Huh? Do we think that the federal government is going to go on? It's already shown that it is closing. Already there are states that are trying to buy out of the federal system. It's only a matter of time. Why should they keep putting in, and getting so little out? Putting in, and they're hearing about cheating presidents, cheating vice presidents, cheating senators, cheating congressmen. So many things that we're thinking that we're having as security, they're already going right before us. People are waiting for their pensions. Pensions are not going to be there. Social security system is falling apart. Welfare system is about to be kicked far as anything. So we have a wonderful chance to bond, to access divine intervention. Prabhupada says there's an indivisible line of connection between the devotees and the demigods. Who's controlling the rain? Who's controlling the wind? Who's controlling the earthquakes and the tornadoes and things that are onslaughting the planet? These are the servants of the pure devotees. See, the Prabhupada is a pure devotee. He is one who can summon the assistance of the devas. As he has his personal love, is he going to leave us? Do you leave your child to be slaughtered? No. When you see your children are in distress, your love, it comes out even more. But that love is there. As we connect with it, then we can experience that and run with that love. So let us be more the servants of each other. As we try to create that kind of atmosphere, everything is basically a force field. Things are happening in different parts of the world, different situations, based on the collective energy of that environment. Why did the demigods stop coming to the planet actively? Because the nature of the environment was no longer inviting. As we have a consciousness that invites, then so much empowerment is there in so many, many ways. This year being Prabhupada's centennial, it is not just something for us, but it is a chance for the world to be able to connect more with what Prabhupada has to offer and has given. It's a chance for us to remind ourselves why we join. Every day we kind of have to join the Hare Krishna movement again. We have to reflect, why did I join this movement? Why am I undergoing these difficulties? And what are the goals that are available? And as we remind ourselves, particularly as we show each other from our examples, just as in sports or a group of musicians, they so much help each other by collective participation. And we are what we collectively have to share. So Krishna Prabhupada is waiting for us. Their love has never stopped. Their blessings have never stopped. The Acharya's blessings have never stopped. Either we all have been given the most amazing sham by all the great Acharyas and even the prophets of other traditions, because they all say this is not our home. They all emphasize, as we surrender, God rewards somehow accordingly. So either they've all, even though they come at different times, different traditions, different parts of the world, And somehow they came up with this amazing lie and big hype to put on the world. Either that's the case, or there is some truth. And if it's truth, we have to be hungry and greedy for it and let it work. So, I'm going to stop here. But as we are the servants of the servants, then we reconstitute our original position. And the way we most serve each other is we have to create an environment that becomes encouraging to allow us to persevere. We're practically just on a persevere course. I mean, things are changing so much that we're practically just on a persevering course, and Maya has so many tricks. One of Maya's tricks is just to get you grossly in sense gratification. If Maya can't get you and beat you down by gross sense gratification, Maya wants to make you so bewildered, so distracted, so depressed that you then do not access the keys of devotion that we have. Just as you deposit something in the bank. Just think, in this community, there are more people who've made more deposits in Krishna consciousness than any place in the world. Every time we water Tulsi, every time we run around Tulsi, every time we have darshan, every time we take charanamrita, every time we distribute a book, every time we hear bhajan and kirtan, chant around, every one of those activities is making spiritual deposits in our eternal bank account. What happens? When you're depositing in the bank, you don't feel it. But one day, you have a chance to draw out and to invest. And then you're happy to see what you have. We have been putting so much in the bank accounts. And there's time for many souls to draw up on those accounts. But Maya wants to make us think, we ain't got nothing. Huh? And then we lose such a wonderful chance to use what has happened. So be like the track star who's running and who's tired. But he's tired and he's thinking, I only got another lap. And therefore, I'm going to continue. Not to be tired and thinking, how can I go on with this? One fry, one thing after another, one complexity after another. I've had it. I'm checking out. I'm going to worship Lord Shiva. Om Namo Shivaya. Some people are doing that. But we want to somehow realize, just as they gave us these wonderful stories of how Prabhupada cared, he still cares. We especially experience Prabhupada's care through each other. Sudama, I end with this. So Sudama, and he mentions on the tapes, the Prabhupada, let's see, memory tape. And he mentioned how Prabhupada told him that when he left, I can't remember the exact details, but I'll summarize so we can end also. And Prabhupada told Sudama that he would be able to hear him through the devotees. He would be able to remember him through the devotees. So we can more and more appreciate Prabhupada. We all felt Prabhupada's presence as they were talking. As we hear from some of you, and you tell different things, it puts us like in a trance state. Any three or four of you, you go out here and you start talking about Prabhupada, you'll go, and someone who comes next to you, you will put in an altered state. Because that is the potency of the transmission. Some of Prabhupada is coming through. So we want to do more and more things that creates environments that allow us to be more reinforced as a servant of the servants, so that we have more of this presence of Prabhupada, and then we let Prabhupada do what he wants to do, what he has to do. Hare Krishna.
Maharaj, there are at least two questions. One I'd like to ask briefly, and then Shyamasunda Prabhu has one question to ask. You were talking before about the Amish and how they won't accept service from someone who's been shunned. And I'm just remembering, and I'd like you to address this issue, I'm just remembering how oftentimes, and this goes a little bit with what you were talking about, what everyone was talking about last night on the panel, and when you were mentioning Nanda Kumar, remember Nanda Kumar was... he was in a complete spiritual depression. I think he was practically breaking all the principles. And Prabhupada brought him, he said, now take sannyas. And oftentimes he would take a devotee who was in very bad condition and say, all right, now you be GBC, and now you become temple president, and you take this. And he would give them more responsibility to push them forward, even sometimes telling them, okay, it's not so important that you do all those other things, as long as you do the service. Go out there and do the work and get the work done for me because I need this done. So I'd like you to address that a little bit and how Prabhupada did some of those things, because I think that's an important part of how Prabhupada, you know, held on to us and to only any aspect of service that we were willing to render.
There's two aspects of that. One aspect is that we see sometimes if we were not given a certain type of service, we may have left. And so Prabhupada arranged some services. We go on some leadership or some management or doing this type of service rather than something else. And gradually, hopefully, we become purified from that. But also there's an interesting thing about the idea of kind of a forced renunciation. And it happened, I think, in one or two other cases, maybe even in Gurudas' case. Is that, at least from what he told me, that he kind of didn't want to take sannyas. But sometimes we are cheating. And sometimes we're making a farce of the process. And sometimes our actions are also interfering with others. And so the spiritual master can give us a service, and every service and position also carries a tax. Just like if a brahmachari falls down, a new devotee falls down, it is bad, it's a fall. But if a first initiated devotee falls down, it is worse. If a brahmin falls, it is worse. If a renunciate falls, it is worse. Because every time you're giving more opportunity to serve, to represent Krishna consciousness, every time you're giving more mercy, there's also a tax. We do not carry it out. So, it is also like saying, I love you, I care about you, I want to help you, you are nonsense, here it is, do or die. In other words, giving you that position, now become that, make a pure change, stop hiding, stop cheating, stop the deviation, or deal with the tax that comes with not doing it. And that's also love. Because love means that if we have a disease, to help us to see that disease, and then to know, and then to try to take care of that disease. But sometimes you can show somebody the disease, and then they are not eager, they are in denial, and they will not give care to that disease. So Prabhupada's love was, you know, was very soft sometimes, and sometimes was also very direct and very, but some people may say harsh. But it was pinpointed love, in that sense, focused love in that way. Tough love, huh?
When Kaushalya and Mother Yamuna were speaking, they were, I was very struck by how they were saying how they were like doing 6 hours Sankirtan every day, Harinam, and obviously chanting and reading the books, and most of all they were preaching, and how this had a very strong effect on how their relationships, they didn't even know if they were men or women or this, that. So if there's problems in relationships today amongst God brothers, God sisters, or in between the two sexes, how might this be reflected by the present state of affairs in terms of people's, you know, spiritual life?
It's obvious. It's not a man or woman's problem. There's problem of relationships, there's problem of relationships. There's problem of proprietorship, there's problem of exploitation, and manipulation, there's a problem of that in general. And so, yes. It has the transforming effect by every medicine has also a way how to take that medicine. Every morning we chant the 10 offenses. And you chant the prayer about, you know, how you can mechanically chant and not get the effect. So something that is very powerful, very potent, it will give some help. But the more it is done with knowledge, and the more it is done as it is outlined to be taken in the way that it's to be taken, then it gives you, you know, all the effects. What Rupanuga was saying about diversity, it's not that everyone is going to have a flavor of wanting to be a pujari and do, you know, 4 hours of pujari service every day. It's not that everyone is going to have the mood of being in the kitchen and be inspired by doing that service every day. Or is everyone going to be in the position of being able to go down and to distribute prasadam every day? But if we're talking about serious community, we should all appreciate whoever is doing that and see it as important and do something also to complement the general services that are, you know, that are going on. Now, it's not that a devotee, and we see even in the spiritual world there is variegatedness. Even amongst the same ras there is so much variegatedness. So variegatedness is not a problem for us, but it's a matter of consciousness, who we're doing it for and how we're doing it, based on how Krishna has outlined it, he is to receive.
Hare. One more question, Mother Janava has.
Nice question to end on, I think. If we talk about Desha Kalapatra, if we talk about Nibbana Krishna Sambandha, Yuktam Vairagya Uchite, it's a delicate matter because we always want to hold fast tenaciously to Prabhupada's books as our primary source. Everything else is secondary. It doesn't matter what it is. Every other scripture, every other activity is secondary to that. And we are to appreciate other things to the degree that they help to complement, to allow us to carry out more of what's in Prabhupada's books. So sometimes we may hear some little fanaticism that we shouldn't read anything else or do anything else. If it's going to help us in our primary activity, wonderful. And if it doesn't, then we want to be very afraid of it and get as far from it and see as possible. So, therefore, certain things have to be judged by the results. We see to what degree is it helping us to associate with devotees based on what is given to us by Sadhu, Shastra, and Guru. To what degree of what we're doing is encouraging us to have appreciation, you know, for the deity, for the appreciation of the mission that Prabhupada has given us. Or are we doing what? Are we finding ways to rationalize our sense gratification? Are we finding ways to minimize the vows that we've made? Or are we finding ways to do like the karmis, to suffer peacefully? The karmis basically making different permutations and commutations without really changing the situation, but they're just trying to see how to cope in such ways. But as you said, we relish the books, then we want to share the book, live the book, and we want to be able to have the book more than just as a historical or as a literary work, but as windows to the spiritual world. So we're all now in the process of, like, you know, being a branch, or being a branch of Lord Chaitanya's movement. And so we hope that sometime in the near future people will be reading, and they'll be reading about how Kausalya and Jamuna did this, and how Rupa Nuga did this, and how Bhagavad did this. They read about these things, huh? And they should get enthusiasm and inspiration on the way that we try to commit ourselves to Prabhupada's service, remain faithful in spite of so many challenges and complications, etc. This is a live movement, not a dead movement. Last question.
Prabhupada wrote that, "I'm your spiritual master officially, but actually I consider you as my spiritual master, because when I see you boys and girls, how nicely you're serving Krishna, I'm learning from you." So this is incomprehensible to me. And of course, this is the point how you began your lecture, that the master becomes the servant, and then the servant becomes the master.
See, you said in 30 seconds what it took me 45 minutes to say.
Thank you so much for that very enlightening discourse. Okay, this is the last part of the program for this morning before we have lunch. It'll take about 15 minutes. And people to see those seeds sprout. And that is such a great, I feel, such a great honor to be in association and to be able to hear such a great preacher. So without any further wait, I want to introduce you to Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, who will be speaking on Servant of the Servant.
Srila Prabhupada ji, it's confound the thought of Srila Prabhupada ji. Srila Prabhupada Sintini Yogi.
I don't know what I'm supposed to say after that wonderful presentation from Jamuna and Kausalya. It's like, you know, you sit down and you eat, and then you get dessert, and then somebody says, well, can I give you something to eat? I mean, what are you supposed to do? And then they bring salad, and you've already eaten? So maybe I'll try to say something so I won't take away from the spirit of what we've had to eat. If I can do that, then we can all leave still and be nourished. It's so interesting how I'm supposed to speak something about the servant of the servant. Speak some philosophy. But philosophy is very wonderful, and most wonderful when we see it in the applied sense. And many of the things we were just hearing, there's so much application of Prabhupada's love, Prabhupada's compassion, Prabhupada's care, Prabhupada's attentiveness. Sometimes we would hear Prabhupada say how he saw his disciples as his own spiritual master, or his spiritual masters, in the sense of how the guru can see that Krishna has sent his spiritual master in many forms to be able to arrange to give service. Or we see another way of looking at the disciple. His disciple is a garland, flowers that come together that we put then on the spiritual master. So it was so wonderful hearing them speak about these things, because we were all literally taken on that magic carpet. But it was also very wonderful feeling the love between the two of them. I hope we all were able to share that as well, which was them carrying what Prabhupada has given as they shared with us, and as they connected in giving that and being able to give us such a flavor of Srila Prabhupada's association. Interesting is that what we see Bhagavad Gita tells us, Matita Magata Pranam Boyantas Parasparam Katayantas Cha Manicha Tushanti Cha Romanticha. This is what clarifies and constitutes the devotee. When Sanatana Goswami is having discourse with Lord Chaitanya, and there's discussion about a devotee, and one of the significant things that comes up is about association. So we can appreciate how much we are devoted as we relish that and want to own or be more part of that, of the culture of devotion. This says we're all so attentive as we're hearing these stories, because this is our nourishment. Of course, the contrast of that, because in many cases, and many of you have to work in environments where you have to associate so much, where you are not hearing the Krishna Katha, but you're hearing so many other vibrations, and you're having to deal with so many situations that are not directly involved in Krishna consciousness. And it's difficult. And it should be difficult. If it's not difficult, then we have to kind of wonder why. Because in this discourse, emphasizing how much one should be afraid of material association, how much one, in the converse of that, is so much appreciates spiritual association. This says it is practically impossible for someone to become serious in their devotion if they are too much attached to mundane lifestyle patterns. And often we see that one of the ways that someone comes to devotional service is out of course knowledge, but also out of distress and out of curiosity. But not feeling satisfied with what normally is considered to be
success, or normally what material civilization has to offer. We want to go beyond that. We want to find out, yes, we're asking the whys and the hows. As we feel too comfortable in an environment where our beloved is not being appreciated, it should tell us something. Just as it'll be very difficult, many of your parents, very difficult for you to feel comfortable in an environment where someone you're associating with, you know that they do not like your child, that they despise your child. They would like to see your child not exist, or they say harsh things or thinking harsh ways about someone who you love. Can you really be comfortable in that environment? You may care for them, but can you really be comfortable in that environment? And if you are comfortable in that environment, then there's some question about how much your love is really strong for your child or for your wife or your husband or whatever. Just as we would have trouble being in an environment where someone is not having proper consideration about Srila Prabhupada. We cannot tarry in such an environment. We could not enjoy it in such an environment. We want to leave that environment. So if we are too comfortable in an environment where people are trying to literally deny the existence of Krishna, where people are trying to be Krishna, or in an environment where people are very hostile about the whole conception of spirituality, we do not have to be harsh towards them, but we cannot embrace such a situation. But we want to embrace the Krishna Katha. Because as we are, the Prabhupada has shown us that example of servitude, where Krishna, in Bhagavad Gita, how he does the most amazing thing. He is the servant of his devotee. He is eager and happy and delighted and exhilarated about being the servant. In many cases, obviously much more than being the master. We just imagine the Supreme Lord being a taxi driver. I mean, it's not one of the most, sought after jobs. Or Krishna washing everyone's feet at the, what, Rajasuya sacrifice? If we listen to some of these pastimes of Srila Prabhupada, we see to the degree that he extended himself. Such a royal personality, Nitya Siddha from the spiritual kingdom. How he made himself available for his devotees in many, many ways. The earlier times, of course, is a special flavor. Later times is a special flavor. Even now, our nieces and nephews, they are also special flavor, chance to associate with Prabhupada, associate with us, associate with what they hear. We understand paradukha dukhi kripam buddhi, that the devotee feels the miseries of others, the happiness of others. Lokanamita karanatra bhuvane. The Goswamis, they were so selfless, concerned about. They were preaching to the royal class at the same time. They were ready, available to deal with the common people, men, women, etc. But their position never changed in the sense that they were so much sharing their prema, their ecstasies, the whole planet, by writing shastra, by building temples. And literally, such great souls, such manjaris, such great entities coming to interact in these hellish environments where there is so much attacking against the object of their affection. I mean, imagine Prabhupada being in this environment and having such love for his guru, having such love for Krishna, and having to deal with material energy and having to deal with us with all of our fears and doubts and anxieties and fighting amongst each other. And seeing our so much lack of taking care of Krishna's energies in different ways. but wanting to share with us so much by being the servant of his guru, is ready to do such things. In cases of standing in the line in the shower, going to the shower in the early days, teaching devotees how to clean, as was mentioned by Kasalya yesterday, clean the floor, teaching devotees how to cook. He taught us everything from how to sleep to how to bathe to how to, you know, do every basic thing, which just shows how hellish our existence is in material energy. We don't even know how to go to the bathroom. Know how to eat. What to say of how to interact. The same gender or the opposite gender. A few short points I wanted to share, and not to belabor too many points. I want to keep the mood of what has been given to us. Matter of fact, maybe I can share one or two stories along with that mood. There's people who are not here. Very nice. When we hear about Jadarani's case, for instance, how she explains how once she was on a walk with Srila Prabhupada, and of course she was very ill and very thin, and so she put on extra clothes so Prabhupada would not see how frail she was looking. But still, Prabhupada was attentive and he noticed. And he called her out on it and asked her about her eating and told her she should eat more dal and chapatis, etc. Then the next day, he called in Satsuk Maharaj and explained how, as a father, giving his daughter, and he wanted Satsuk Maharaj to take care of her and to take her as his wife. So, here a case of being attentive to all aspects of the environment and being attentive to all his servants. And being personally concerned to try to see how to do something. Similar kind of nice story in 1974 in Geneva. The Lilavati Dasi. She had been traveling with Prabhupada, just coming from India. And so they were visiting the temple in Switzerland. And she'd come down with serious illness of jaundice. And so the devotees, they were all, of course, very excited. Prabhupada had come, and they were very happy, and everything was so focused on Srila Prabhupada and hearing from him and serving him. And so they put Lilavati in the room. And basically, she was there being practically unnoticed, very, very ill, very sick. So at one point, Srila Prabhupada told the devotees, the leaders, devotees, also some of the other devotees, that he wanted to go to the hospital to see her. Because later they arranged for her to go to the hospital. She got sicker and sicker. And devotees got everything ready. They got the vans, the cars are all ready to go. And then after everyone was ready, waiting for Prabhupada to come down, then Prabhupada told them they should go and see her. So they understood that one, he was thinking about her. Two, he was concerned, and he wanted them to be concerned. And in order to help the effort of drawing attention to get them to help her, so he said he wanted to go, and then he sent the devotees. Reflection on story of Bhuvijan's wife, I think Mr. Jagatarini Siddhasi. When she joined similar in 1974, Mrs. Halsita Prabhupada personally had told her to come into the room, and he spoke with her in so many ways. And he explained to her that directly that he would find her a nice husband. She is a nice girl, and he will find a nice husband for her. Of course, later she married a nice husband, Bhuvijan Prabhu. They had interesting service in Japan, difficult place. Very, very difficult place to preach. But around that time, there were some difficulties. They were having some association that was contaminating. And there was some maya. So, Prabhupada himself personally came to visit them. And Bhuvijan explained that his wife, she was a borderline kid.
And Srila Prabhupada spoke to them. And then he took off his gold ring, his own finger. And he kind of motioned and twirled it, and he gave it to her personally. Later he left, went to Mayapur, and some short time after he arrived in Mayapur, he was on a walk with a brigade of sannyasis. Jagat Tarini happened to come upon Srila Prabhupada and sannyasis. Immediately he stopped his conversation with him. And he thanked her for coming. And patted her on the head. And then walked away. Being concerned about the consciousness that she was in, extending himself by giving something that he is wearing, something that is his own. And even while he is in this meeting with his renunciates, his world leaders, at the world, on the world headquarters, that she comes and he is moved by that he extends himself and thanks her. So this, we see, is the similar mood of Krishna. And how, although he is controlling everything, Ahamsa Vasa Pababo, Mataksa Vampa Vajate, Iti Matva Bajangte Ma, Buddha Bhava Samamitaha. But even though he is so omnipotent, omniscient, etc., that he is the God who is sometimes running through the field with his face dirty as a cowherd boy. Huh? He is the Supreme Lord who is so meticulously concerned about all of his creation and his servitude that he dances with the gopis in the all field that only Krishna is with them. That is, he is eating with the cowherd boys, they're all feeling that Krishna is only giving them the full sense of attention. That when he is dancing from the Ratiyad cart, every group is feeling that this love and focus that Krishna is giving is just for them. So we want to somehow pick up some just small amount of Prabhupada's concern for everyone. So that as we associate with each other, that we will feel, oh, he is my best friend, he is my best friend. It's nice sometimes you see that there are some, it's rare, but you'll see there are some devotees who many people feel that, oh, this is my best friend in devotional service. Because one is feeling, oh, this person is so much attentive, concerned about my well-being. And how wonderful if that can be something that is shared. Because we see even people were sometimes so inimical and they came in front of in Prabhupada's presence. It's like there's an example of such of a meeting also in Europe where the devotees called a meeting of parents. And so many of the parents, they were furious. Like I think Brahmananda, your mother also, in the early days, she was very disturbed about you being a devotee. And as they had the meeting, Prabhupada talked to them. And one of the parents said how, we want to be angry at you, but we cannot. Because Prabhupada is his love, his charm, his care, his concern. And the parent, of course, wants the best for their child. They see such a loving, charming person. How can they feel too disturbed that their child is under the care of such a loving person? Because he is carrying the devotion of Krishna. Now we have these communities. And these communities are to help us to imbibe the spiritual culture. And these communities are to present us strong positive alternatives. See, if we associate, and in our association, we collectively come together to mutually suffer and tolerate, that is not going to produce a sense of longevity. But when we can have community, that by being in community, everyone benefits more than they would individually.